This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. Good morning on the 22nd of January, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller today with the news, including water rights around Indiana and a new bill to protect those for agriculture. Also tips for livestock care during the extreme cold. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for a little bit of a warm-up, no significant precipitation either. And the ag markets strong yesterday. Market analysis coming with Arlen Suderman on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Protecting farmers' water rights and protecting livestock from the cold. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. A bright spotlight was put on water rights following the LEAP project in Boone County and has been made a priority for farm groups around Indiana. At the State House, Farm Bureau is showing support for Senate Bill 28, introduced by LaGrange Senator Sue Glick.
Much of the industry that's moving in, we've got some significant water users.
She points to battery factories and data centers as just a couple. For farmers, Glick says it's critical that we protect your ability to make sure the water turns on for your livestock or for your irrigation pivot. So SB 28 makes sure that companies can't just come in and use up all the water.
If, in fact, their development impairs the ability of those farmers or those ag operations to withdraw water for their uses, if it dries up a well, if it significantly impairs water in that aquifer, then that new operation must compensate, and that means either delivering water to that operation in an emergency fashion or making permanent decisions in regard to replacement of that water so that those users who have been using that water for years still have the opportunity to continue their operations.
Now, that doesn't mean just handing you a check, but it does mean covering the costs associated with hooking you up to a new water supply or digging the groundwater well deeper. Current law already provides this protection to residential wells, but SB 28 expands this protection for wells utilized for food production. Glick is hopeful this makes it through, because for farmers, the ramifications could be disastrous.
If they can't take care of their stock, if they can't take care of their land, then they're out of business.
Read more of the bill details at HoosierAgToday.com.
At Keystone Cooperative, being farmer-owned means giving back to those who make it all possible, our farmer owners. After a remarkable year in 2024, we're returning $68 million to our members through patronage, an incredible 57% of our profits. Unlike Wall Street companies, we deliver our success directly to Main Street. This is the Cooperative Advantage. This historic return benefits farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Keystone Cooperative, centered on you.
This weather recently feels a lot less like we're in Indiana and a lot more like the North Pole. C.J. Miller reports how livestock producers can protect their animals from these bitterly cold conditions.
Carl Hoppe of North Dakota State University Extension says one thing you may want to consider for your livestock when it gets below freezing is making sure their water supply doesn't freeze over.
Frozen waters really do have a big effect on cattle performance, because once the water freezes and they quit drinking, they quit eating at the same time.
He suggests that producers invest in a water heating element to keep their water supply for their livestock from freezing.
Either below the water bowl, or actually an element that's in the water bowl that turns on and off based on the temperature of the water to help keep your water from freezing up. There might be propane or coal-fired type things or wood-fired type burners that can be submerged in large larger tanks to try to keep the water from freezing up.
He also says cattle and other livestock need more energy content in their feed to combat the freezing cold conditions.
This isn't just adequate feed the day of the event. This is adequate feed months before the event. We'd like to have some body condition, some fat on the cow, so they can draw on that. Fat actually acts like some insulation too. So if we have that extra condition on the animal, they can weather these storms quite well.
You can check out more cold weather safety tips for your livestock at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Hear from keynote speaker Dave Campbell of Lily Lake Organic Farm and connect with experts on insect ecology, organic markets, and biological amendments. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. It's a pretty boring forecast overall here. The biggest change from day to day is temperature. We have no significant precipitation outbreak in the Hoosier State over the next 2 weeks at least. So let's talk about what's going on here. We did see the coldest part of this Arctic air mass that we've been bothered by over the past few days settle in yesterday. Temperatures today should be just a tick or two better than what we saw yesterday. We should still see some decent sunshine. Temperatures tomorrow are also going to be a little bit better than what we see today. However, tomorrow we do deal with a little bit of cloud cover coming out of the Great Lakes across at least northern parts of the state. The farther south you go, the fewer clouds that are going to be around. And temperatures are still cold, just not as cold as what we put in yesterday. Going into the late week, we ease temperatures just a little bit more going into Friday, actually getting back close to normal for this time of year from Friday through the weekend. Still doing it, though, with a fully dry setup, no precipitation, good sunshine for Friday on through Saturday and Sunday. Next week, Monday, we start to see some warm air come up from the west. It's going to be an interesting week as we see dry air with sunshine through most of the week. As the warmer air comes in, I think we see some cloud cover offshoots from that, so Tuesday into Wednesday. And then we have a major weather system passing by to our south, staying down over the deep south, producing mostly rain as we get back close to normal here. A little cold surge early to finish the week for Thursday night into Friday, and then temperatures flip big time as we flip the calendar into February. Very warm air coming up from the southwest for the first, second, and third. Once again, all of it happening mostly dry. Our next chance at precipitation here may be some rain that comes overnight the third into the fourth. And that's way out there. Lots can happen and change before we even get to that round. So below normal precipitation, temperatures that are trying to rebound, especially next week, and get above normal by the time we finish the month. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
From the Farm Bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com, the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Corn, beans, wheat, everything worked the high side as we got back to trade. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'll have the final numbers coming up. We have market analysis first, though. I checked in for that at the end of the session with Arlen Suderman of StoneX. Quite an interesting dynamic in the markets as we get back to trade in a shortened week, Arlen, with the grains and oil seeds up, and especially in the case of soybeans and wheat, very, very strong. The equity markets, very strong. The dollar index, very weak. So wrap it all up for us. What happened in the ag specifically?
Well, there's a lot of different things playing into the ags today. Very headline driven. That was certainly a factor. That was a contributor to the very weak dollar that you mentioned. And so that tended to support and provide some tailwinds for the grain and oilseed sector and also for the protein sector. But there was a lot more going on than that. First of all, we had some bitter cold. No secret to anyone in the Midwest or the Plains. Temperatures got colder than what the model suggested. And we had more snow melt than what was anticipated ahead of the cold. And that left a lot of the winter wheat crop exposed. So we anticipate there was some damage to this winter wheat crop, potentially significant, but you never know until spring whether you did or not. Wheat doesn't follow the textbook very well and what actual damage is. But two-thirds of the Plains hard red winter wheat crop had temperatures low enough to do damage and without snow cover. So that's a significant amount, and that doesn't include the Midwest, which also saw some cold temperatures with lack of snow cover. And in fact, portions of Indiana and Ohio will again be vulnerable again tonight. When you look at corn and soybeans, it was rumors about China. Would there be a trade deal? It was rumors in the cash market of China buying some corn, maybe some soybeans. That would be more expensive, particularly soybeans would be a lot more expensive than Brazilian soybeans. But lo and behold, we found in one of the Chinese chat rooms of the industry, unconfirmed reports that Chinese custom offices had blocked phytosanitary certificates for soybeans coming after mid-month. With dated after mid-month. Can't confirm whether that was true, but that was from some major exporting firms in Brazil. So all of those rumors playing into talk that maybe China is working on a deal with President Trump to buy agricultural commodities, that could reverse just as easily tomorrow, but for today it was supportive. One more factor, disappointing, underperforming rains in Argentina and southern Brazil over the weekend.
Once again this week, as we look at the export inspections, very good in corn, better than the highest of expectations, Arlen.
Yeah, the corn exports, a little over 60 million bushels for the week. That's what was inspected. And that was a nine-month high and roughly twice what we would normally expect to see this time of year. In the second week in a row that we've seen strong export shipments over 55 million bushels. So that means that we're well ahead of the pace now needed to hit USDA's recently raised export target. On the other hand, soybeans were again a disappointment, coming in at about just under 36 million bushels, falling below the seasonal pace needed to hit USDA's target because of that wall of cheaper soybeans coming from Brazil. Not concerning the rumors that we hear in China about possible problems with Brazilian soybeans going to China. For now, just looking at the inspection data, it looks like U.S. business dropping off ahead as that Brazilian harvest gets started.
Arlen, talk a little bit more about the conditions in South America that you've already alluded to. There are varying issues there, and could they be intensifying?
Yeah, as we look at Brazil, that's the big producer. And at the first of the month, our customer survey in Brazil raised the size of the crop to 171.4 million metric tons. That's up 4 million metric tons from the previous month. However, since then, the dryness in southern Brazil has become rather acute and has been hurting yields. Rio Grande do Sul, we estimate that we've lost 2.4 million metric tons of production this month because of the dryness there. That is being partially offset by better than expected yields in Mato Grosso, where they have started to harvest just a few percentage points at this point, basically 5% or less of the harvest, but the yields have been coming in really good. So based on that, we're looking ahead to the February yield survey. Right now, we'd have to say maybe it's somewhere in the 169 to 170 million metric ton range. That's still up about 20 million metric tons from last year. Argentina is a bigger problem. It's earlier in the growing season there, which means if the rains come in February, they can still recover most of their lost production, have a good crop. If the rains don't come, they can have much bigger losses yet. And so that's a big question mark. And right now, the models are are inconsistent in what they're calling for as we go toward February, so we lack confidence in what that'll be.
That is Arlen Suderman, StoneX Chief Commodities Economist there. On the Hat Tuesday, Farm Market Review, everything up. March corn up a nickel and three quarters, 490. May contract ended just under the $5 mark, 499 and three quarters, up six and three quarters. And July up six and three quarters, going to 501. March beans, 33 and a quarter higher, 1067 and a quarter. May, 1077 and three quarters, a gain of 33. July contract, 1087 and a quarter, up 32 cents. And 558 and three quarters for March wheat, a gain of 20 cents. The meat's a mixed bag. February live cattle, 197.05, up 30, down 17 on the April. February lean hogs, up 7 cents, 81.20. And April, 86.70, down 162. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.